And that's what we're going to talk about today. The body of Christ. I want to go to John chapter 1. Does anybody know about John chapter 1? John chapter 1 and 1. If you're standing, just stay for a few minutes. We're going to read the word together, and then we're going to be seated. You'll be seated. I'll keep standing, though, but I'll let you be seated. John 1 and 1, in the beginning. I mean, like the very beginning. Like before anything ever happened was the Word. Everybody say Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that were made through Him and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14, and the Word, that same Word that was in the beginning, that same Word that was with God, that same Word that was God, that Word in verse 14 became flesh. It took on a body, skin, flesh, just like you have, just like I have. And that God with a body dwelt among us. We know this to be Jesus Christ. And we beheld His glory. You didn't behold His glory whenever you read His word. You didn't behold His glory when He spoke to you. You didn't behold His glory when He gave you a dream. You beheld His glory when He put on flesh. Because the glory of God has to have a body in submission. God gets no glory when there is no body showing forth the Word of God, that Rhema, that Logos. You have to have a body manifesting it for God to get any glory. God gets no glory in the invisible realm. God gets glory in the physical realm. And that's why the greatest way for God to get glory is for it to be revealed and not hidden. And Christians that are hidden, and you only worship God right here, but not with your body, God gets no glory. God only gets glory when we're loud and we're active and we're busy and we're moving. The only way God gets glory is when it becomes physical. God gets no glory when you think about Him. God gets no glory when you hear Him. God gets glory when you obey Him. And when it flows through you, that's when God gets glory. That's why it says it just like this, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Are you ready for the word today? Well, God bless you. You can be seated today. I want to read to you an email that I received from someone who came to our church. I'm glad you're here today. Welcome to church. But I want to read to you this email that I think will help us today before I get into this topic. Before I even tell you my topic, I want to read this to you. It says, hello. Years ago, I walked into your church on my way to Walmart. I was not attending church at the time. Honestly, I had some church hurt. Anybody ever had church hurt before? Yeah. And had other issues before I came in there. But I went inside because every time I passed up the building on the highway, something told me to go check it out. I know it was God now. Yeah, it is. It's God. I'm going to tell you the reason why you're here right now is because the Lord called you in here. That's why you're here. Some of y'all drove over 30 minutes to get here. I'm telling you, the Lord brought you here. Why don't you stay long enough to find out why God brought you here? Yep. At the time, it just highlighted to me. Every time I passed by the building, it said I passed it for months and finally went in. I was met by Victoria and her beautiful family. I was treated so well by everyone. Everyone. And she says here, I mean everyone, that I came in contact there has changed my life in a positive way. I was not accustomed to a church that would cry out for the Lord the way you guys did, nor speak in tongues as much. So at first I thought y'all were crazy. You're not the only one. If you're new to our church and you think this is crazy, that's pretty normal. That's okay, though. Yeah. However, I kept going because something says stay and check it out. Isn't that cool? So I stayed and kept coming back because my spirit was being fed in so many ways. I wasn't always nice back to you guys, and I apologize to the church for that. But I see now that that was the enemy trying to put up a wall against me finding God. Maybe it's not us. Maybe it's not people are not friendly. Maybe it's the enemy trying to get you to go against the reason why God brought you here. Yep. At first I had conflict. My relationship with God is so better. At first I had conflict with him, at times questioned if he hated me in my life. However, your church changed things for me and turned things around. I no longer go to your church because I moved. However, I continue to watch your videos online. God was like, go check out their sermons so I can still get fed. So this person is still watching our sermons today. I have a new church family. That's great. So I'm not a lone wolf out here anymore, but I did want to apologize for any way I treated you guys, but also thank you for sticking through it because service by service, y'all warmed my heart and made a difference. I know the church gets hate sometimes for having a backbone and a stance on certain topics like homosexuality because this was something that I dealt with. But we still preach it here at AFC. Story's not over. Let me finish the story. However, when I saw how y'all stood by the word, it made me respect God. Because a pastor without a backbone has a very weak God. And God gets no glory when we water down his word. People are looking for a strong, powerful God with a strong, powerful message. Not a weak God. It made me respect God and realize that he isn't playing. Y'all spoke the truth in love, and that's why I didn't feel rejected, but I felt convicted. Enough to at least open up the conversation to God about my lifestyle, homosexuality. Yep. Because you guys obey the word. I have a better relationship now with God. And because my generation feels like everything has been a lie, is that true? If you're under the age of 30, is that true? Does this generation feel like everything's been a lie? Okay. That word is in my title. I'm going to tell you in a minute. I didn't know I was going to read this today. I already had the title. Before I thought about reading this, I forgot about all that it said. And we have some bitterness towards the older generation. And when you guys said God is the whole truth and you stuck by it, it made my faith stronger because then I saw God knew more than me. So I respected him because when you guys tell the truth, it made me think, well, why does God say certain sin is bad? Then I did research and I discovered the truth. Of course, all of this has to be done in love, and now I'm writing a book, it seems, but I did want to say thank you for being honest and remaining in the love of God. And thank you guys for praying for me. It makes a difference, and I walked out and never told you guys that, and sometimes you just never know if your work is doing things, so I just wanted to say thank you. Thank God for a good testimony today. We appreciate that. God bless this lady, and God bless her wherever she's at now. But I wanted to mention that today because my title today, I'm going to continue to be that same person and hopefully help set people free. The Online Church Membership Lie is my title. And we are living in a day right now where people are Christian only certain percentages of their day. And it's one of the most horrible things we can do as Christians is not try and attempt to be a 24-hour Christian. Amen. but to be a distant, disconnected, my pastor is in a state far away online. It's one of the worst things this generation will ever do of church. We're getting lazy. We're believing the lie that you don't have to have a local church and a local pastor, and it's hurting people. And I'm seeing a trend like never before, and AI is going to make it worse. There's going to come a day you'll have goggles on in your pajamas in your house, and they'll put you on a front row, and you'll have virtual church. That's where this is headed if we're not going to fight back against it. It is not the will of God for the Spirit of God to not be in bodies and bodies not be together. It is the will of God for God to be in this place and us to be together, because God gets no glory when the bodies are not together, revealing and manifesting the power of God. And so today I want to preach the online church membership lie. It's not all about online church. It is mainly about how we need God to dwell inside of our bodies, and we need to not become disconnected from God and His Spirit and His church. Are you ready? For around 4,000 years, our God would make Himself known by talking to individuals as a massive, powerful, scary, holy being. Some would listen, but unfortunately, many would not listen to God. In fact, humanity barely got going before God had to judge the entire population of the planet. And in His searching for someone righteous, He only found one. Out of all the population of the world, He found Noah, and his family was the only family that was saved in this time. Many of the events in these 4,000 years between God and man were written down and stored in safe places on the scrolls, sometimes even stone. But mainly, did you know this? The majority of the laws of God were had to be memorized and verbally handed down from person to person. We are so blessed today to have a cell phone with every translation we could ever need of the Word of God. But that is only in the last 20 years have we been able to easily carry around the Word of God like we do right now. For the majority of human history, there has not been a way to carry God's Word around with you as you travel. For the majority of history, God would have to speak and we'd have to try to memorize, and you'd have to go to a temple to find a scroll, read it. You couldn't check it out like library and take it back. It was way too important for that. You'd have to memorize it and verbally pass it on from father to son. That's why in the old law, every day, the law was teach your children the Word of God. Have them memorize the Word of God. Why memorize it? Why did David say, "Thy word have I hid in my heart"? Because they didn't have it on a phone. You had to put it in your heart. You had to memorize it because you couldn't carry scrolls around on your donkey. You'd be like, "Hey, I want to teach you the Bible." Say, "Hold on." Turning pages. I mean, that's the Word of God is massive back then on parchment paper. It wouldn't have made it. Copies of these recordings were not plentiful like they are today. Much of their ideas about God would get skewed due to the inability of man to remember and pass their traditions down accurately. And the difficulty of not having it written and in your pocket is that you might forget something. And your soul depends on it. That's kind of scary. It's like, "Oh, what was that law that if I don't do it right, I'll get stoned today? I forgot. I need to remember." That's kind of scary. It's kind of scary that you would have to have a law that you forgot. See the problem? Do you realize that the first church apostles had to study and memorize the Old Testament writings and then attempt to tie them in to their experience and the teachings of Jesus Christ? In fact, Jesus was the first to start tying the Old Testament prophecies to His own life events and actions in order to fulfill the Scriptures. But these men, these apostles, were not carrying around Scripture and verses like we do today on our phones or in a full slimline KJV Bible that fits inside of your pocket. It wasn't until around the 15th century that we began to print copies of the Bible and start finally dispersing them to each individual home. 15th century was when we finally began to actually get Bibles passed around. Probably even longer than that it took before it really was printed enough and people could afford a copy. The concept of having the Logos, the written Word of God, in our possession is a new concept. What's even sadder than that is we still don't read it. Even though we've never had more of it available. In fact, let me just pause right there. Am I hearing this correctly? We have more word, logos, except in our acceptable or around us, accessible into our communities and our lives and online, and yet we still have a godless world? I'm trying to figure this out. Hold on with me. I'm trying to figure out how more logos creates less revival. There's something up here. It's something missing here. You think the people need another Bible. You think more Bibles will change the world. You think more scripture will change the world. But that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says more bodies will change the world. In the beginning was the Word. In the end is the body. Brandon, in the beginning, you have it written. In the end, you have it displayed. The fullness of God is bodily. And so my message today is it's time to get off the pages and get in the hearts of the people of God. The world is sick and tired of having preachers preach and not live it. We don't have a Bible problem. We have a Christian problem. We got Bibles everywhere. Everybody got Bibles. Bibles in every translation, every language. AI is going to make it to where you can just talk to somebody with your glasses, and your glasses will have a little speaker. It speaks like Matthew's got them. And it got a little Ray-Ban thing, fancy Ray-Bans. He's a business owner. And so you get them fancy Ray-Bans, and you can talk. And I'm telling you, the future is going to be where you can talk the Word of God to anybody, but that's not going to change the world. The world's going to change when the Word gets in the bodies. Come to tell you today, that word doesn't do any good if you don't submit to it and download it into your spirit and start living it before all men. God gets no glory when you preach it. God gets glory when you live it, when you embody it. The world is thirsty for legitimate Christians. That's the word today. We good? All right, we're going to have a good time today. Humanity has been essentially playing a 5,500-year-old game of telephone. Did you hear what God said? Well, my great-great-great-great-great-grandpa told me, be careful about divorce. You might get stoned. Wait, what did he mean by divorce? Like, for what reasons can we do it or not divorce? And I forgot that part. Just be careful. We can't go 3 weeks at our church without the story getting changed to what's happening in 2 months on a Friday night. Talk about 5,500 years of passing down verbal tradition of God's word. No wonder the world was so messed up when Jesus showed up. No wonder the legal scholars were so messed up. They were trying to go off of word that had been twisted in with all kinds of flesh and ideas that were not of God. For 5,500 years, we've had people that were trying to remember. What did God say? What did my great, great, great say? What was the word? What was the law? The birth of Jesus, though, turned everything around. Because the birth of Jesus marked a new day in our God's proximity to his creation. And for the first time in human history, the Creator had come close. Not only close, but he became something that could be sensed. He became one that could be heard audibly, seen visibly, and felt physically. This is what God always wanted to be. He wanted to be close. He wanted to be understandable. He wanted to be easy to get. He wanted to be simple. Unfortunately, with the advancement of technology, many ministers have taken to online videos, podcasts, websites, and ebooks because our culture will not get off this. We have found that this is the only way to get our foot in the door. Is to get on this. And so our generation of ministers and preachers has custom fit tailored their message away from now the Word of God onto what culture asks for. And our culture says, I don't want to go to church, but I'll go to church on here. And so the men of God have stopped studying what the Word says, and they started giving in to the masses of the crowds. And they say, if you tell me that I can be your pastor on your phone, then good, as long as you send money in. I'll be your pastor on the phone. You're robbing people. Let me tell everybody online right now, if you can't help the person and they're paying you, you're robbing them. You're giving to something you can't get back from. Bible says the ox that treads the corn gets to eat of it. If you don't tread the corn, you don't get the money. I think it's ridiculous that people send money to TBN preachers. Now, I get it if they're trying to raise money for a mission or something, that's fine. But to that guy, you're going to pay him tithes like a pastor, but he can't even come talk to you. He won't answer your phone calls. That's the guy you're going to invest into. You see where I'm going now. We've never been better at content creation in this generation than we are right now. And we've never been worse at content manifestation. We've never been better at content creation, never been worse at content manifestations. And what this generation is looking for is a manifestation of the power of God, not a new creative way to talk about Jesus. This generation is looking for somebody authentic, someone real, someone that it seems like they have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. Why is this happening? Because online ministry can be turned on and turned off when you don't want to hear it anymore. Hey, pastor, this is good. Wait, I have to do what? I'm hanging up. And your pastor will never even know you turned off his message. I can tell when you turn off a message, when you walk out and leave. I can tell when you don't want to hear me. It's easy. You're accountable here. You're not accountable at home. You're not accountable on your phone. You can be tuning me out and never even know it. You can turn it and pause it. You can skip the parts you like. You can go find the 60-second clip that you want to hear and get the context out. That's what you do at home. That's not pastoring. Online ministry can be turned on, turned off. It can be edited. It can be filtered in post-production. You're not even getting the full story when you watch online pastors. They'll clip out parts they don't want you to hear. You got to be in person to truly get the correct ministry. You know, when you're online, you don't have to worry near as much about being consistent. Because you don't get caught when you're far away from your sheep. I'm amazed at the number of popular social media content creators who have committed suicide recently. And here's why it confuses everybody. I just watched this video he posted 3 hours ago. He was happy. He was on a vacation. He had this beautiful beach he was at. And then they found out he jumped off his balcony about 3 hours later. That's so weird, because if you look at his content, he's happy. But if you look at his heart, he's not. Don't know who somebody is when you watch them online. You watching online right now, the 40 that are out there, that's all we got, like 40. We don't have a lot. Thanks, Mom, all the aunts and uncles. My extended family's keeping our online going, Brother Omar. Omar's like, we have a new person reach out. So it's my cousin. We have a big family. You haven't met them all yet? Yeah. They're finally joining. Happy online and dying inside is this generation. You don't know who anybody is by the little 60-second clip or the way they make their kitchen look pretty before they take their Instagram photo. You don't have a clue who somebody is online. There's no way you could ever get ministry online. There's no way you could really ever have proper, godly ministry from a distance. Our God doesn't want to go backwards with the gospel. He wants to go forwards. And online ministry has taken us back to law. God said, I want bodies in the house. God said, I want bodies around bodies. God said, I want to be close, not far. And we're getting further from each other. We're getting further from truth. We're getting further from ministry. We're getting further from God. It bothers me. As you can tell, there's no accountability or way to verify online ministry from a distance. I recently heard someone say they had a friend that chooses to attend a church online. They live in this area. And their church they choose to be a member of online is several states away. And they've never even been there physically. And that guy is his pastor. He's never talked to him.
deceived. You're looking for the easiest path to feel like you're saved. Why am I warning you? I'm warning you because you're deceived. Who's going to tell you if I don't tell you? All your friends at work agree with you except for me. Who's going to tell people the truth if we don't speak up? I'm sorry, but the email that I got tells me to preach this message today because someone's got to stand up for truth. People want the word of God. People want truth. It's only going to hurt you if you're deceived. Not me. I'm not deceived. That pastor far away is not your pastor. That pastor far away is not your pastor. He's your preacher. I'll give you that. In fact, he might be a great preacher. In fact, there's a lot of great preachers online. I hear them. I like listening to them. They're great preachers, but I have no clue what kind of pastors they are. How convenient. Have a pastor who has no clue who you are, and a pastor. That's kind of scary. Picking a shepherd that's watching for your soul, and you're 1,000 miles away? He's not watching for your soul. He's watching for your Tithely account to come in every Sunday. It makes me mad because they're encouraging it now. Apparently, this is common. Many megachurch pastors will welcome their EFAM. What's up, EFAM? You're lying to those people. They're not your EFAM. They're not members of your church. They're lazy Christians who don't want to get up and get out of bed. That's who they are. Except for the few that can't go because they're handicapped. The rest of them are straight lazy, lukewarm. They need to repent right there at their house, get dressed and go to church, fall on the altar, and they need help. And pastors are encouraging this practice because they like the money that comes in and no responsibility. That's right, EFAM. Come on, send your tithes and offering in. I did this today for you. I got all this message for you today, EFAM. I'm trying to get you to give. Put the number on the screen. Get the QR code out there. Come on. We're trying to build a new church building. Not for you. For us. Give to our cause. What? You're not even here to enjoy any of it. And it must work because of how much they push it. And then you got people sitting home in their pajamas going, that's right, that's my pastor right there. Woo-hoo-hoo. You talk to people at your work, you're like, who's your pastor? Oh, somebody over here, somebody in New York. It's like, oh, really? Yeah, it's your pastor. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, we close, we tight. I comment on the YouTube thread whenever these preach, I comment and be like, amen. You ever seen those comments on preaching? People like act like they're there. They're like, hallelujah, amen. They're probably in their underwear. They're probably wearing pajamas. They probably got sleep in their eyes. And they're sitting there like, amen, I'm there, amen. What are you doing? Get up and get dressed, man. Y'all, I got scriptures that David said, I'm not gonna do anything unless it costs me. I got scriptures where David said, I'm not going to go empty-handed. I've got scriptures that say you can't do this without work. You can't do this without sacrifice. You can't truly worship God without getting in your car, driving across town, fighting traffic, paying gas, because a God that you can't sacrifice for is a God that's not worthy of his worship. I don't know. I mean, I may get a different email after today. I don't know. We'll bounce them out. I heard one pastor online of a big church give an end-of-year report, and he was saying all those online who commented, he was thankful for all those who were saved through their online ministry. How do you even do that? I know how they do it. Right now on the screen, touch the screen, put your forehead on the screen. I'm going to put some oil on the camera, and right there it's going to transmit through the radio waves. And right there, you believe in Jesus. And when you believe in Jesus, you're going to be saved. In fact, when you get done, put in the chat, I just did it. And you got somebody in the back office counting up all the people's different accounts who said, I just received Jesus as my personal Savior. They count all those up for the year, and they add them in their salvation totals without any verification. And they get up and boldly proclaim how many people have been saved because of their online ministries. Totally not biblical at all. And they brag. And they let those people sit there feeling good. No. I don't understand it. The people actually give their tithing and offering online to a church they don't attend. And we still have people that have been here for years and have a hard time participating and helping us pay the bills around here, unfortunately. Oh, Pastor, that online preacher preaches good, though. Yeah, I agree. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that online preachers aren't great. There's actually an abundance of great preachers online. They're everywhere. I love a bunch of them. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that one bit. I'm not talking about online, just online ministry. I'm really talking about the spirit of my pastor and my church is a faraway church, and I don't even have friends in the church. I don't even have a community church I go to. All I can say to you is if you like online preaching, as long as that person is biblical, then listen to it, have a good time, shout across the house, whatever you want to do, I don't care. But a preacher isn't a church leadership position in the Bible. And the Bible doesn't say preachers will watch out for your soul. It says that a pastor or those that are over you, rulers over you, will watch out for your soul. Even Satan preaches. I've preached great messages 24 hours after lusting on pornography. Oh, nobody said that out loud? That's because they're liars. And I'm not. It's easy to preach. It's tough to pastor. If you're new, that's a long time ago. I've been over pornography a long time ago. Some of you are like, what, like when? Like last week? No. New people here are like, that's an email. It's coming your way. Yep. I will never go to your church. I have found out it is really easy to preach to people. It's really difficult to pastor people. And the fivefold ministry that grows and builds the church is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and preachers is not one of them. Because anybody can preach and still not be in the fivefold ministry. Christians today pick preachers over pastors because they don't want to be accountable to anybody. How convenient. Your shepherd has no clue what you're battling. I had another guy tell me that he has a family member that learns about God from one-minute video clips on social media, scrolling through YouTube shorts about God. You get no context from a 60-second preaching message. Watch the whole thing to get the spirit of it. Pastor, we send Bibles to people. Isn't that the same as an online ministry? Well, the Word of God is only written for the purpose of long-lasting preservation and accuracy. It's because we argue and fight over our subjective memories, we need it written down. Thank God the Word is written down, because if not, we would be slapping each other all the time with Scriptures. We'd just be making up our own versions. I'm so glad there's people that I can pull up the Scripture to when I'm debating them, because they're all over the place. In fact, you need to use the Word of God more when you're talking to other Christians, because we're divided because we're not submitted to the Word of God, to the Logos, to the written Word of God. The written Word of God is our safety net. Amen. We forget things. We judge each other over out-of-context Scriptures. We try to remember things, and our memory is bad. Just pull out the Bible. You've got one everywhere. Pull it out. Talk about it. Stop quoting stuff out of context. Look at the whole chapter, and then we'll be unified on the rock of God's Word. Real and effective ministry was never supposed to be via a medium like letter or radio or video, but rather it's always meant to be in a body and through a body and in person. Watch this. The letters that Paul wrote were primarily to churches which were established while they were traveling in person. An in-person man of God is the one that went to the cities and all of the towns in the first church and established them in person. Whereas, yes, they could have sent a letter to start a church. In fact, they sent a man to start a church. But Pastor, what about the letters to the churches? Exactly. What's the key phrase there? Letter to the established churches. Letters only work after you've had a body go before the letter. What goes first in ministry? The body goes first. The letter goes when the body can't goes. The letter is the backup plan to a lack of bodies. The best plan of God is getting a body full of the Holy Ghost around other people in the community. And if the body can't go, well, yes, send them text message. But God's first priority has always been to use a human body full of His Spirit. It'll make sense before I'm done. 1 Corinthians 2:1 is a evidence of this. Look what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," y'all, he's not writing these letters for evangelism. He's writing them for maturity and reflection. He said, "Brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? "That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul said, "I came to you weak so that you could see and put your faith in Jesus and not in me." Paul never wanted the church to turn him into a celebrity online. We got way too many popular celebrities that are among preachers, and that is not God's plan. You see, Paul got close to the Corinthians for demonstration of spirit and power from God, not from Paul. You cannot truly experience the demonstration of spirit and power through a screen. Now, I know you felt stuff watching a screen. That's fine. But there is no way to get the full context unless you're in the room. Because I've seen the screen and I've been in the meeting. And I'm telling you, the meeting is 100 times better than watching through a screen. If so, Paul would have sent demonstration of spirit and power through a letter. But you cannot send the demonstration of spirit and power through a letter. And you can't send it through a screen, and you can't send it through an audio bite, and you can't send it through an email. The only way for you to see the demonstration of the power and Spirit of God is when a human body is walking in the Spirit and the power of God. You've got to get around the body of Christ to experience the fullness of Christ. Paul didn't even say everything he wanted in all the letters. You'd think that he would just say everything. He didn't. I can prove it, 2 Corinthians 13:1, "And this will be the third time that I'm coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before and foretell as I were present the second time. And now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest that if I come again, I will not spare." He's saying, I won't say everything I want to say in a letter, just like you shouldn't say everything you say in a text. Paul said, "I can't do it justice over email, text. The best way for me to talk to you is one-on-one, in your face, in the room. Because you cannot pick up on context of God's Spirit with just text messages and two-dimensional screens. You've got to see every feature, motion. You've got to feel it. You've got to be there. You can't really do it the gospel justice from a distance." So Paul said, "I won't tell you everything over this medium. I will get in your face." Verse 3, "Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me." They were doubting his ministry. When someone's doubting your ministry, you got to get closer to them, not further. You know what we're doing, guys? We're making more videos than we've ever made before, and we think it's going to change the world. You know what will change the world? Be a 24-hour Christian every day, everywhere you go. Get caught being Christian. I mean, it don't matter if you're at Walmart, you're preaching. It don't matter if you're at the job, you're preaching. You don't make a bigger impact over you making some cool media or website or message online or podcast. Why don't you be a Christian to your family at home? People making videos, all of us be making videos, doing something somewhere. We got everybody doing all kind of stuff. You're so cool online, but the people in your circle don't like you. We got got Christians that aren't manifesting the spirit and power of God, but they're manifesting text messages, Facebook posts, and podcasts. And that's why the world is not growing in revival, because the glory of God flows through people's bodies. Yeah. Help us, Lord. Paul wrote letters for maturity, not evangelism. I got Bible that says Paul wrote letters of evangelism. No, he didn't. Those were already established churches when he wrote those letters. That's why Romans 10 being used evangelistically bothers me so much. Romans 10 and 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's why people will type on the chat, I'm saved. And that's why those mega churches go, great, you're saved. We did that. You didn't do anything. All you did was say, if you believe the Lord is real, put it in the chat. The devils believe and tremble that he's real. I wonder how many devils wrote in the chat. I wonder how many devils got saved because the mega church preacher put it online. The devils believe. They're still lost. Help us, Lord. Some say if you just call out to Jesus, you'll go to heaven. That's it. Well, first of all, that scripture is out of context. The focus is not on sinners calling out, but cultures calling out, because the verse right before it says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. This isn't about sinners calling out. It's about prejudice in the church. But all the famous preachers of the last 60 years have used that scripture. And they claim that they've turned the world into salvation, but they're out of context. Because these people were already saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Brother Dale, that's good, isn't it? These people, this wasn't evangelistic, y'all. Romans isn't evangelistic. Romans is writing to a church of people who have already talked in tongues. It's just reaffirming what they believe. It's maturity teaching and doctrine. Simply reinforcing the doctrine of salvation through grace and faith is all it was. These people were already in the church. They were already saved. This is a method of salvation. You have to have context, guys. That's why it'd be so nice if we could sit down with Paul. What would he preach if he sat down with us? Would he lay hands on us? Would he talk in tongues in front of us? Yes, he would. See, much more is caught than taught when you're around the body of Christ. Online ministry and books are great after people have encountered the body of Christ. I've been on Zoom calls, and they've been amazing. I'm on phone calls with people, great men of God. We have great talks, but anytime I can get close to them, I will. Because there is no substitute for being in the room with people manifesting the power and the Spirit of God. Online ministry can work for occasional trainings and lessons for those who have been properly established in person and can't make it to the physical location. We all know that babes in Christ have to be close to the mother if they're going to live. Letters and YouTube preachings are nice, but nothing will ever replace the convincing power of a Christian example right in front of you. I dare say you're having a hard time believing in Jesus today, not because of good preaching or bad preaching, because you haven't met many good Christians. It's the truth, y'all. People will be converted when they meet real Christians, not when they hear good preachers. We're living in the hour, for the first time ever, where preachers are no longer trusted the better they preach. I mean, seriously, you got guys up there dressing amazing, wearing $500 Nikes and kids' clothes, 16-year-olds, teenagers' clothes, pastors are 50, and they're up there looking cool, working out, got muscles, wearing muscle shirts, and they're so perfect in their delivery, and they're so suave, and they got all the great jokes, and got a lot of personality, straight teeth, white teeth, and people are like, I don't know if you can trust that guy. Why? He's perfect. Exactly. It's amazing how we're living in a day where all the online ministry is not even making one inch budge in our world. You know who loves it all? People already saved. We're the ones keeping it alive. That's the ones keeping online ministry alive. Jesus commanded us, go into all the world and make disciples. He did not say, write a bunch of letters and send them into all the world. He said, go. letters can make a believer, but they will never make a disciple.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 3:2, you are our epistle, our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are a letter of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on the tablets of flesh, of body, that is of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. People need to be around the body of Christ. There has been nothing more convincing to me that Jesus is real and his Spirit's real than people full of his Spirit. I got a word for someone right now. You said it's because someone hurt you is why you don't want to trust in God. Well, you're a hypocrite if you won't let somebody that helps you, who does serve God, get you out of that same mentality. Because if a person can get you away from God, then by your own metric standard, a person can get you close to God. You need to get around the church. You need to find somebody legitimate. You need to get your eyes off of the fake Christians and go find you a real Christian. I don't struggle with this. I know too many Holy Ghost-filled, real Christians. I'm going to go to church the rest of my life because I am convinced, not because of online preachers, not even because of my Bible. I've met too many real Christians. I admit to you, this generation is on fire online, but online ministry is subpar for our submission. America doesn't need more Sunday Christians and online Christians. It needs a 24/7 Christian, walking, talking, breathing, physical, close by Christian. I'm sorry, but your posting won't keep sinners from roasting. Your uploads are not near as good as a Jesus download. Your studios and your radios are nothing compared to a Jesus cameo. This world doesn't need another video about God. It needs the body of Christ. It needs Christ in a body. Say, we're going to reach this area and it won't be through that camera. Pastor, your videos look grainy and your audio messes up. Come to church! Can't lay my hand on you like the Bible says. If you don't come to church, you can't experience the gifts of the Spirit. If you don't come to church, I can't get you healed. If you don't come to church, I want you to go where the body of Christ is alive and real. Oh God, help us, Colossians 2:6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Verse 9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yeah. The fullness of God is not a logos word. Uh-oh. We done went to messing with your doctrine today, didn't we? Maybe 5 of you care about this. But I'm going to tell you right now, the scripture does not teach that the fullness of God is in the logos word or Bible scripture. It's good, but it's not the fullness. The Bible doesn't teach the fullness of God is in a rhema word. A rhema word from God is a personal revelation, an inspiration, a breath when you need it. It can show up anytime. It's the voice of God in your life, and the Bible does not teach that the fullness of God is in that word that comes from heaven when you're in prayer. The fullness of God is in the soma of God. And soma is the word for body. The fullness of God is not logos, and the fullness of God is not rhema. The fullness of God is soma.
The fullness of God is whenever that rhema and that logos get on the inside of you and they begin to manifest into everything you touch and everything you say and everywhere you go and how you treat your neighbor and how you forgive your enemy and how you cry and how you love and how you worship. Oh, the world needs to see the church sleeping through storms, dying on crosses, investing in hungry sinners, teaching Bible studies, loving their enemies, operating in the gifts of the Spirit while maintaining the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. Y'all know I'm right. And if you're a guest today, you know that you wish that every preacher should be preaching like this, because we've got a bunch of people that are saying, if God was real, I'd serve him. I'm just waiting to see. You got people here today right now. You're testing the waters of Christianity, trying to ask, is this real? Because I felt drawn to come in the building. I felt drawn to come in here and watch you guys. You look crazy. You look weird. But there's something to it. And I don't know what it is. And you know what you're looking for? You're looking for legitimacy. You're not looking for logos. You're not looking for rhema. You're looking for soma.
God, help me to be the soma. Because all my life I've heard these really polished prophets get up and say, logos, logos. And I was like, what does that mean, Lord? Oh, rhema, rhema, rhema. And I'm like, I feel like illiterate. You're using all these big Hebrew, Greek words. And I'm like, I must be so far from God. But I'm the guy with the soma revelation. And you've probably never heard it preached before. Because this is my ministry. Mine is not just, oh, this is so spiritual. Oh, we're so spiritual. Mine is, let's be practical. I grew up all my life around the logos. I grew up all my life around the rhema. But you know what our generation's hungry for? We're hungry for the soma. We're sick and tired of preachers full of logos and rhema with no soma. And my prayer today is, God, let the logos work in me. Oh, God, let the rhema work in me. Let it not just be in me and around me, but let it flow through me. Let the world see it. Let the world hear it. Let the world touch. Let the world experience.
Logos, rhema, it's all about us. We believe in it. The world doesn't. You know, the world believes in soma.
I'm going to tell you, this is why you'll never have a revival without the bodies in the room becoming completely drenched and full of the Holy Ghost. Because the world doesn't believe our logos and the world doesn't care about our rhema, but they cannot contend with our soma.
The world has labeled the church sus for far too long. That if you're older, it means suspect. I just learned it too. It doesn't understand how Jesus is enough when we can't stop stuffing our faces with food addictions. Our world is having a hard time with 500-pound preachers saying Jesus is all I need. I'm not trying to make fun of them. I think we all have our battles, right? But I'm just saying, the body tells a lot about who we are. Your smile tells a lot about who you are. Your countenance tells a lot about your joy and your faith. Your anger issues tell a lot about your peace and your love. I'm telling you, we got all these great ideas, but the world's not convinced because of great ideas. The world is looking for somebody that will manifest these ideas. And they will believe. I'm sorry, but the world is confused whenever the church can't be free of their phone addictions. But Jesus is everything I need. The world is confused when we can't get free of our work addictions. And you will never win someone to God witnessing on a Sunday at work. Trust me, God's my everything. I put him first. Why are you here, bro? My point is, we talk so big, but that's not helping anything. dare say some spouses that are not in church will never come back until we're quietly living a Christian life. Not loudly living a Christian life. Because your logos and your rhema are not making an impact on them. But your soma will. Our world is confused when we can't get free of our fornication and our pornography addictions. Sometimes I wonder if people would know I was a Christian if my tongue was cut out and my internet was cut off. You see, I understand this message today because I'm the talker between my wife and I. But talking's not in and of itself very Christian. But living a Christian life before men is the greatest way to reach our world. In my closing today, Europe has the internet. I know that's probably not very profound. But you know, Europe has access to this YouTube channel right now. Did you know that Europe has access to all of our wonderful Christian content we produce? You know, Europe's not producing a whole lot of Christian content because they're becoming more and more atheist. In fact, this is where Christianity supposedly was at for a very long time in the world. And yet, all of a sudden, they have turned their back on God in Europe. They're losing their free speech. They've lost their freedom to arms and guns. It is becoming an atheist location. And they have never had more access to truth than they have right now. So what's wrong? They got the logos. They got no soma. They have internet preachers. They can look it up. They see everything happening with our politics. They know everything happened in America. They trash us. They make fun of us because they're connected to us. The internet has connected everyone together. They can look up church. They can look up questions about God and Christianity and how to have church, how to grow a church, how to plant a church. They can access all information. It's not turned out like it is in North Korea. Other countries won't let you access information. But Europe is free to access all this information, and yet they're declining in Christianity much faster than even we are, and we're declining too with all of our logos and rhema. They've never had more access to information, and yet they've never moved further from God than they are right now. I have found that most people in Western civilizations have been introduced to the Word of God. They've heard about Jesus. I think the problem is they're simply looking for a reason to believe in Jesus. Guys, we have passed the day where we are going to go out to the street corners, Colton, and say, "Have you heard of Jesus?" Because everybody's heard of Jesus. But here's what we're going to have to start saying, Colton. Have you ever heard of Christians? Because we have found ourselves in an awkward position now in America where we all know Jesus, but only a few of us know real Christians. Think we're spiritual because of our logos memorization and our rhema moments. But I'm going to tell you, the fullness of God is not in logos, and the fullness of God is not in what you hear in prayer. The fullness of God is making your body a living sacrifice and manifesting the goodness of God through you every second of every day. Last scripture today, John 20, 24 through 28. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came to visit. This is after his death and resurrection. Jesus is showing himself alive to his disciples, and he came and visited, but Thomas wasn't there. He missed out. The other disciples therefore said to Thomas and testified and said, "Hey, Thomas, let me give you a logos. We've seen the Lord." And so he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Before you trash him, that's most people. Before you trash him, that's most people. In fact, he's the only one that was able to tell the truth because everybody else had seen him. But what do you say when you hadn't seen them?
That's what you say.
See, I think they all would have said it, but they saw them. They got the chance to touch them. And those who've had the chance to touch them believe it. But those who have not, doubt. And it didn't matter how much Logos Thomas had or how much Rhema Thomas. He said, unless I can make contact to this God with the body, I will not believe it. After 8 days, the disciples were again, verse 26, inside the room. Thomas this time said, I ain't missing out on the next meeting. That's what happens. You miss one Sunday, you never know. So he came back. Jesus came the same way. He snuck in, didn't go through the door. Door was shut. He stood in the midst of them and said, peace to you. And then he looked over to Thomas and he said, Thomas, I got something for you to do. He didn't give him a word. He didn't say, I can't believe you. You can't touch me. You ought to just believe. He said, come here, boy. Reach your finger here. Check these hands out. Reach your hand out here. Put it inside my side. Do not be unbelieving. Believe. Touch and believe. Touch and believe. For the first time in the history of the Bible, we move from hear and believe, see and believe, to touch and believe. And Thomas answered in verse 28 and said, my Lord, my God. I'm going to tell you what we need. We need the church to embody God's Spirit. And while you heard me defend that online church isn't real and shouldn't be a thing, as far as membership goes, you ought to find a church, move if you have to. My number one mission today was to tell you that the fullness of God is when God gets inside of this body and begins to take control of it. And if he's not taking control in this body, then I'm telling you right now, there is no spirit inside of that body. What we have done in the church is we've tried to discern who's right and wrong. We try to discern salvation. And you've said, am I saved? I don't know. Am I saved? And this is what Jesus said. You shall know them by their fruit. Fruit is the physical, touch, accessible, provable part of who we are. Your body is the fruit of the Spirit. Your words, your face, your actions, where your feet go, where they don't go, it's the fruit. We're not saved by works. Works are evidence of our faith. And fruit is evidence that you have received and you are obedient. And when it doesn't show up in this body, it's not there in my heart. And this is why the plan of God has always been, I want to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And I want to live in you and dwell in you and move through you. Because your family, lost loved ones, hurting people in this city, they're tired of online preachers. They're tired of fake Christians. And the call today in this place is who will rise up and be a legitimate, full of the Holy Ghost, woman or man of God. It's actually much easier than you realize, because all you got to do is surrender. Paul said, when I came to you, I came to you weak. Well, who can't do that? You see, it's so opposite. You think, Pastor, whenever I get to the place, I can do it. But Paul said, I actually went backwards on who I am to get it. Which takes away every excuse of every person right now in the room. Because you don't have to have strength to be qualified to come to the altar. You have to give strength up to be qualified to come to the altar. Paul said, no longer does God want people to be the testimony as far as you're good. He wants us to be weak, and he wants us to demonstrate his power, his Spirit through us. So that when people see us, they don't even think about how great we are, but they think about how great God is. Today, I'm inviting people to come pray
And here's the prerequisite. Lay down all the good things you think about yourself and come surrender to God's power. And we will experience today in this service a demonstration.
What's the demonstration part? It's the outward. It's the visible. It's the clearly seen of the invisible working of God.
If you come and stand and don't let God get in the body and move the body, nothing will happen.
God bless you, Brother Craig. Nothing will happen.
But if you come and you make your body a slave to the Holy Ghost, and you say whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, thank you, LaTanya. Good to see you, ladies. That's what God will begin to do. It's not about I can, it's about I can't. It's not about I'm great, it's I'm not. It's about coming down saying, Lord, fill me up. I'm talking to people right now in this room that if God ever got a hold of you, you would see miracles, signs, and wonders in your life. You would get healings flowing. You'd have miracles happen. There's a young generation right now listening to me that the world has promised you witchcraft and spiritual darkness, but it's weak compared to the power that I have. The power that I have is greater than any witchcraft or warlock in this world. I'm not afraid of devils or demons. They can't do a thing to me. They can't curse me. This generation is looking for the power of God, and I've come to preach today and tell you it's here right now. If you'll come and present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, I'm totally surrendered to you, God. I'm totally surrendered to you, God. I want to become the soma. Come on, that's our prayer right now. I opened up the front of the church for prayer, but I want us all to be praying. I open my heart up today to become the soma. God, make me the soma. God, make me the soma. God, make me the expression. God, make me the full. Let me be a fullness so you get glory. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Oh, fill me up, God. Flow through me, God. Speak through me, God. He doesn't need your education, your money, your wealth. He doesn't need your health. He just needs you to come up here and say, I'm weak, I'm broken, but you can fill me up, God. And that's all that I need to do today is absolutely surrender. Come on, give your body up to God. Let God flow through the body. My body belongs to God. My body, know you not that you are the temples of the Holy Ghost. Come on, use your body. God, take over your body. It is the billboard to the world. It's the card you hand out to your communities. Your body is the visible of the invisible works of God's Spirit. Come on, give your body for God's service. Give your body to give God glory. Give your body for whatever God wants. I present my body today to you to fill me up right now until I'm overflowing, until I'm speaking in a language I do not know, until I'm full of the power of the Holy Ghost. God, I'm calling today to people. It's time to be a reflection of who you really are. It's time to get around broken and hurting people in Austin, Texas. Flow through me, Jesus.